Every year, we do a wrap-up show covering the biggest moments in conspiracy, pop culture, movies, and more, as well as some personal highs and lows. In today's episode, we're going to do a journey through 2025, and I'll let you in on a massive shift in my personal life here today on Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. 2025 was my 11th year of podcasting, the number of magic and manifestation, and what a magically manifesting year it was. Today, we're going to recap. This is one of the most popular shows that I do, this format here, the wrap-up show. We're going to recap some of the biggest moments in pop culture and conspiracy, some personal highs, lows, my favorite films, my least favorite films I watched, highly anticipated results of last year's predictions with some new predictions for 2026. Plus, I've got that personal big move in my personal life I'm going to involve you in because this one's extra special. So be sure to stick around for that. Without further ado, let's get into it, right? We all got food to eat, New Year's parties to go to, so let's get it moving here. Now, quick plug, go to my YouTube. I am posting all my free feed videos on the YouTube. It's at Occult Symbolism. I put the link in every single episode now. And subscribe. I want to get to 100,000 by the end of 2026, and you're going to help me do it. Okay, we're in this together. I want you to help me out. So go like and subscribe. All right. And I'll be posting the video, the free feed version of the video with ads on YouTube the same time that the free feed audio version goes out. I know I've been going back and forth on that for years, but I think that's how we're going to do it. Okay. All right. Now, first topic, our favorite, most engaging episodes of the year. This is from my subjective perspective. In the year 2025, I published 78 shows. That's more than one a week, which is pretty intense for a one-man army such as myself. And I tried doing some live shows this year, and I know some of yous liked it. Some of yous were bitching. I got more complaints than I did anything. So I was like, all right, well, you guys don't want this, so it's fine. I'm not saying I'll never do another live show, but to do it, to sort of cram it in once a month, I'm like, eh. I got more complaints than anything, so no live shows. Now, as far as my favorite shows, the most engaging ones I've seen with comments, the most fun, the interview I did with Dr. Jacques Vallée was one of my favorites because he's the godfather of UFOs and technology. And he is one of those guys like Peter Lavenda that I believe understands how all these points intersect, all right, between the occult, between, you know, ufology, misinformation, between technology, because they're all three intertwined. I also did a deep dive on The Shining, very long overdue. I wrote about The Shining in my second or third book, Kubrick's Code. And much to my surprise, I had never done a deep dive into it on the podcast. So super long overdue. It was 3 episodes, almost 4 hours. And it's also up on my YouTube if you want to watch it. Of course, you know, YouTube makes me strip out all the clips, which is awful. So if you want to watch the video with the clips intact, tier 2 on the Patreon or VIP section, supporter feeds. The Conspiracy Classics book clubs. I started doing Conspiracy Classics formatted shows. We did Catcher in the Rye. We did James Shell Downard's King Killed 33. We did a 1984 book deep dive, which was very prophetic. I thought to do that because of the Dark Enlightenment series. Then a lot of people liked all those. A lot of people like those mega deep dives on the staples of conspiracy, and I'm going to continue to do that as I'm currently working on this MKUltra one. Total nightmare, by the way. It's there's so much information. I actually went too heavy on the notes, and now I'm trying to edit it down because I'm like, bro, I can't do more than 4 episodes on one topic. It's just too many. And people complain. They're like, oh my God, enough. I get it. But that's going to be the month of January is going to be MK Ultra season, okay? But it's the most important theory. We reference it all the time. We got to understand it, myself included. I'm on this journey with you. Another project, a deep dive, was Twin Peaks. We finally finished the Grey Lodge. We knocked out the pivotal parts of the series on our journey of 55 episodes. The Kenneth Grant reviews of UFO gateways going through the atomic bomb portals from season 3, episode 8. Well, Twin Peaks, The Return, episode 8, I should say. Part 8, excuse me. And in January of 25, I published the last 11 episodes, right? I bagged them all out in one day, Then I had one final mega wrap-up. I think it was almost 4 hours long for the mega wrap-up of all of Twin Peaks that I published just in time on February 23rd, Twin Peaks Day. Prophetically so, wrapping up 2 years of research into this topic. Then I also enjoyed the Dark Enlightenment series. That one was very good. I'm still continuing it, still working on the book. Now, I like to talk about the most drama, okay? Which, in the comment sections, were you guys the most dramatic about? Well, it would be the Twin Peaks and the Dark Enlightenment series by far. A lot of people got tired of talking about Twin Peaks, so I know you guys were happy when we wrapped it up in January. And the Dark Enlightenment series, there was a lot. I mean, let's go back in time to February/March of 2025. Everyone in the conspiracy community was so excited for Donald Trump to get back in office because they're like, oh, he's going to drain the swamp and he's going to arrest the PDFs. And I was talking about how, look, this isn't good. This is a technocracy takeover. They got bad things in mind for what to do with this country. Now, it remains to be seen how much of this is actually going to go down. But I feel like it's a very prophetic series, and a lot of people didn't like that. I got a lot of flack from people. And I would argue that fast forward 1 year, and I think everyone's going to be back on my perspective of this whole thing, especially given all the crazy stuff we see in the Epstein files. I'm just saying. These guys aren't your heroes. They're not your saviors. They're not trying to help you. They're trying to destroy you and cripple you and put you into the Great Reset and kneecap you so that you will own nothing and be happy. And that's what they're doing. Now, the most popular and the highest downloaded, to end this section on a positive note, right? And let me quickly back this up, because I used to do this little category and then I stopped doing it, because the problem is when I look at the statistics, the shows I did January, February, March of 25 have got more downloads, obviously, than the ones I did in, October, November, December, because it'd been more time for them to rack up views. But I looked on Spotify, which has a fraction of where my downloads come from. I would, for the podcast nerds trying to get into the details of the business side, for me, it's probably somewhere between 30 and 50% of my total downloads. It's kind of hard to tell. But I saw something a little different this year. So I wanted to do the top 10 most popular downloaded episodes. All right. We'll start out with number 11. I know. Start at number 11. Because my man Ryan Springer, the Mormon occult secrets that we talked about, a guest episode came in at number 11. Number 10 was The Shining Part 2. Number 9 was the Epstein Files Decoded, when we talked about Saturnian Golden Ages with the Black Cube cult, which, by the way, I am, after the MK Ultra deep dive, I'm going to deep dive into Saturn worship. That's also an intense amount of research. Number 8, the Dark Enlightenment Part 2. Number 7 was the Shining Part 1. Number 6 was the Elon versus Trump Epstein Files live show. Number 5 was Dark Enlightenment 4. You can see a trend here, right, of what the most popular stuff was. Number 4 was old Charlie K, King Kill 33, the bonus episode. Now, the free feed got the preview, but that one got an intense amount of downloads, okay? Then we have our top 3 of what you guys thought was the most popular. Number 3, the Peter Thiel AI Antichrist show. That actually surprised me at how many people were interested in this, but it fits into the Dark Enlightenment technocracy stuff. And like I said, I'm going to work on that book after I complete Twin Peaks, the Dark Enlightenment book. I'm sure nothing's going to change significantly between now and the end of 26. But number 2 came in at Dark Enlightenment Part 1. And then I had a very strange anomaly, and this was specifically to Spotify. I must have hit their algorithm or something. If anyone is a Spotify nerd, please let me know why this happened. But my number 1 downloaded at 10x what number 2 was downloaded. I mean, this was by far and large an anomaly spike. The Heretic bonus show that we did. That's right. We did a show on the supporter feeds for the film Heretic, which was a fascinating breakdown in the symbolism of the LDS, Freemasonry, Ritual Magic, and so on. This is around the time of the Ryan Springer show. And to put a specific number on it, it was an absurd amount of downloads at 165,000 downloads. And that's not typical by any means. Like I said, that was, I think the number two was about 12,000. And we're speaking solely on the Spotify. If you add in all the streams together, I don't know what it was, because it's the way they reported downloads kind of got funky in the last few years. So it's kind of hard to tell anymore. But the Heretic Bonus Show, for whatever reason, blew up. And then, of course, you know, I've got all these honorable mentions of recent shows that are popping pretty good, you know, like the 1947 shows I did with Joel Thomas. Not a very fair fight because I just released on the feeds, but I got a lot of positive feedback. A lot of people love Joel Thomas and when we link up. And I don't want to tease you guys, but in 26, we got another project come that we're going to be working on. All right. More to come on that. Stay subscribed. And check out Joel Thomas's Free the Rabbits. The man does amazing, impeccable research. And I've learned a lot from this guy on as far as like research on the occult, as well as the technical side of how to do things. Like this dude's very intelligent. I look up to this guy incredibly. He's amazing. So that was the best shows, favorite shows, according to me and you. Now, we had a lot of guests. We had a lot of guests in 2025. Big names, cool names, new names for some of you. We had, you know, Dr. Jacques Vallée. Then we had Ryan Springer. We had Ryder Lee. We had JK Ultra. Some of these were like high drama feedback too, by the way. You know, JK Ultra, she's very kind of new agey and occulted, dare I say, was her perspective. You know, she had the alien contact thing. She's into a lot of those kind of new age practices. And, you know, some of you guys don't like that too much, but some of you do. So, hey, I'm here for everybody. The man, Richard Syrett, the man with the golden voice from Coast to Coast AM. I had Richard Syrett on here. And it was amazing. We shared our journeys of, you know, he's Greek Orthodox as well. Seven Seas, also high drama episode. He made a big splash on the scene these last couple of years with his research, which is very interesting. We had Robert Frederick. That's the guy I've been in contact with for years, and he broke down the theories about Shakespeare. Jessica Hundley, again, kind of represented from that sort of New Age occult granola realm, which I, you know, I like some of those things. So I let you guys in on it too. I like to talk about these things. Then we, of course, had the Joel Thomas 1947 Swapcast series to, you know, much acclaim. Everybody loved it. So, which is surprising because when I have a guest on, I get I don't want to say a fair amount, but I get complaints sometimes because a lot of people are like, man, this is just me and you, buddy. We're just getting into it. And I understand that because I listen to some podcasts and they do kind of a similar pacing that I do where they randomly will have guests on. And I don't like those episodes. I'm like, no, I want to talk to you guys. It's me and you, you know. Then I had a lot of appearances. I'm trying to amp up my appearances, and we'll talk about why that is here soon. And I'll go with the most recent one that I haven't plugged this yet. I got to get on. You know, it's been the holiday season. I've been slacking. I did the Occult Disney show to talk about Zootopia and the satanic symbolism behind the movie Zootopia. That's on, you know, Paranoid American. He does the Occult Disney show up. And I've got, like I said before, if you go to my link tree, allmylinks.com/IsaacW, two A's for double awesome, you'll find links to everything I always talk about. One of those is my appearances and interviews that I make. I have a growing index of every time I do an appearance because people wanted to see the list, you know. And I believe I've got all of them. I believe I've got all of them going back to the very beginning. Back in my first interview ever, which was with a radio show out here in Salt Lake City. I don't even remember the name. It's been that long. But you can find it all there. Then I did, in earlier in December, I did Kurt Metzger's show on YouTube, the Derp with Kerp show. That was interesting. That was something. I don't know if you heard that one, but I did my best. I tried to hang in there with him. That was a huge show too, by the way. And then I did my favorite appearance is on the Tinfoil Hat. We did Tinfoil Hat the King Kill 33 with Charlie Case stuff. We talked about that. I did a show on the A Mind Body Mushroom podcast about acceleration and dark enlightenment with my man Jordan. Be sure to check him out. He's the guy from the Wind and Sea Coffee thing. Also, the roaster for my branded coffee, Mushroom and Nutty Watcher Coffee. I still got some bags left at occultsymbolism.com. Then I did another Higher Side Chats with my man, Greg Carlwood. Sorry, I haven't eaten anything this morning, so my brain's a little funky. My wires are crossed. We talked about Diddy, Travis Scott, Dark Enlightenment, of course. You know, that's the trending stuff. This Dark Enlightenment is a fascinating subject, which is why I'm doing the whole book on it. And I'm going to put links to all this stuff in the show notes, by the way. Well, no, I'm going to put a link to my appearances, and you can scroll through. This is too many links. I did Here for the Truth. That was a fun show. We had a video clip on social media that went viral. I forgot what we were talking about. Was it Michael Jordan? Anyway, Reality Czars. We got to do that show again. Those guys are great. Then we did, I had a link for a little show on History Channel called Unexplained with William Shatner. Your boy made an appearance. I was on the little screen. Can you believe that? It was, you know, and that was when I spoke at the beginning of this episode about 11 being the number of magic, as Aleister Crowley would say. Not that I'm a magician by any stretch. But the ideas of manifestation, I do believe in some of that stuff. I do believe you can kind of pursue and manifest things. And what's interesting is that I always, when I started blogging in 2011 and things started jumping off in 2012, I did have this fantasy about being on History Channel, specifically on Ancient Aliens, which I'm still like trying to put that out in the sphere. So it is kind of crazy that within, you know, whatever that is, 13 years, 14 years, I actually made it on TV on Unexplained with William Shatner. And if you're curious, link is going to be at that appearances and interviews. It's also the season 7, episode 9, Secret Societies, okay? But it published on June 20th. A lot of people are asking where they can watch it. You got to figure it out. The post I have should take you to the History Channel website where you can watch it. I haven't seen it yet. I don't have the courage to watch it yet. Someday I will. They're going to have it probably on, I think, like Hulu is probably there now. And I think they also get it on Netflix this year sometime, I would assume. I don't know. But anyways, you can check it out if you want to. Don't tell me if I did bad. That'll break my heart. I'm assuming I did great. I don't want to watch it and find out that I did something stupid. Then I did Coast to Coast AM, another like legendary status show, right? And then I did Richard Syrett's Strange Planet, talking about dark enlightenment and all this stuff, because a lot of people find this fascinating and intriguing. Then I did Tinfoil Hat Podcast again, dark enlightenment, acceleration. That was, you know, now we're back in May. I'm going back reverse. And then reverse cowgirling on you guys. Then I did the Cosmos Info Show. That was really fun. I think is he French? Sorry, Cosmos, I don't remember. But anyway, it was the show. It's on YouTube. You can watch it. Then I did Raised by Giants with, you know, Ryder Lee talking dark enlightenment. I did Donut Show talking dark enlightenment with Cordy Turner, right? Who was also, I had her on my show, as you know. Another great researcher, of course. Then I did Nephilim Death Squad. Many people were asking for this. Back in March, we linked up finally after all these times. People asked for this to happen, and we made it happen. So big shows this year. Thank you for everybody who bugged these hosts or however the word got out to have them reach out to me. I appreciate it because those are big deals. When you can get appearances on these big shows like that, that's nothing to sneeze at. Let's move into my favorite films. That's right, favorite films. Well, I had a lot. I'll give you my number one favorite film of the year, but there's a lot of good ones. I mean, I have subjective and questionable taste in films. Some people get it. Some people maybe not, and that's okay. There's a list of the ones I liked, which I recommend, of course, because I liked them. We watched Anora. I loved that movie. I thought that was great. A nice little interesting story, you know, pretty horny, loved it. Baby Girl, again, same description, insert here with Nicole Kidman. That was something. Don't watch it if you're don't watch it with people who don't want to see no freaky stuff. All right. Nosferatu, love Robert Eggers. Nosferatu was great, much better than the original. The original sucks. Silent film, so boring. Under the Silver Lake, I finally watched that. I keep putting it on my polls for my Patreon people, like, hey, do you want this for your bonus show this month? And it keeps losing, but I'm gonna do it. It's gonna happen. I've got all the notes and screenshots and everything. I just got to like tweak the notes and kind of come up with a theory and so on. Which, by the way, if you saw the recent Epstein photos, there was that photo of the dentist chair with all the faces on the wall. Well, guess what you see in Under the Silver Lake? You see all these masks on the wall of Golden Age celebrities. Is it connected? I think so. Documentaries. Pee-wee's documentary came out. I was always a huge Pee-wee Herman fan, so I loved that. Devo. There's a Devo documentary. I wasn't some huge Devo fan. I just watched it because it looked interesting, and now I'm a Devo fan. I'm like, these guys kick ass. Love it. You got, because they're very anti-establishment, which I like that. I like that. I like that punk rock vibe. 9 and a Half Weeks. I watched that for the first time. Loved it. Thought it was great. Again, apply the same warning of Baby Girl and Anora to 9 and a Half Weeks. Don't watch this if there's some people in the room that aren't into some freaky stuff. Watched Fraternity Vacation from 1985 because, Josie, she's got all these cool movies from the 80s that I'd never seen. And she's like, let's watch Fraternity Vacation. And I find it very enjoyable. I love me some 80s cheese ball. The Charlie Sheen documentary on Netflix was great. Believe it or not, I watched Return of the Living Dead for the first time, which I know that's kind of weird because I'm such a horror junkie, but it was the first time I'd seen it, and I absolutely loved it. I was like, this is great. And I typically hate any kind of humor mixed into horror movies. I hate it. I hate it so much. It's my least favorite thing on the planet. And that one was great. Loved it. Netflix had this series, Monster, Ed Gein. A lot of people hated it. I loved it. I'm here for all those series. Are they sensationalized? Are they a little, disrespectful to the victims? Sure. I don't know what to say. The heart wants what it wants. I thought it was interesting. It didn't make me think like, oh yeah, Ed Gein's a great guy. Maybe we should have more people like him. It made me think, if this is true, which I don't know if it was, if this version of events is true, it kind of makes sense. It's like, well, sometimes these people are victims of things and that screws their brain up and then they become serial killers, right? I watched Apocalypse Now for the, I've watched it many times, but man, that's good. It never gets old. It's such a good movie. I saw the Frankenstein movie on Netflix. Loved that. Leo's new movie, One Battle After Another. Loved that. Necessary watch if you're a conspiracy theorist, by the way. The Eddie Murphy documentary on Netflix was great. I saw Megalopolis. Speaking of Apocalypse Now, I saw Megalopolis. Thought that was very interesting. Will I do a show about that? Probably. I got to do a little more research. There's a documentary about the making of Megalopolis that I want to watch first. It is very coded with Roman mythology and stuff, so and magic. But my number one movie of the year, my number one recommendation is Bugonia. I loved it. Again, necessary watch if you're a conspiracy person. Necessary watch. Great movie. Started out, I wasn't too sure. The first 30 minutes, I was like, I don't know about this. But by the end, I was like, oh yeah, dude. This director went for it. Loved it. Then there were some mid movies that people love that I was like, it's mid. Sinners. It was fine. Mid. Crank, which is an older movie. I'm not a big action movie guy, but I kept, Crank is one of those top, one of the greatest action movies ever. It was fine. It was mid. Movie called Oddity. Some horror movie that people were like, oh, it's the scariest movie ever. TikTok bullcrap, by the way, because that's where I saw some of these recommendations. Like, you got to watch Oddity if you're like horror movies. It was fine. It was mid. Fatal Attraction, because I did a show, as you know, I do a podcast with my wife called Breaking Social Norms. Very uncensored, very inappropriate, very off the cuff. Lots of opinions. We get political. It's a lot of things that this show is not. And we did it. I think it was two episodes or one episode on my top 80s and 90s horny movies. And I had to watch several of these movies that I had never seen. One of those was Fatal Attraction, which is usually ranked as one of the horniest, greatest movies ever in that genre. And it was mid. I was like, this sucks. What are you talking about? It's mid. The Beetlejuice sequel, Beetlejuice, finally watched it. I didn't hate it. A lot of people hated it. It was okay. I appreciate that they tried to revisit it. I appreciate Monica Bellucci in it. But it just didn't work. Now for the worst movies. Because you know I'm a hater. I love to hate. I got the hate in my heart, and I want to hate on some things. And the first one's going to be a surprise. No Holds Barred. Yeah. When I was a kid, I wanted to see this movie so bad. And in fact, I think I saw it in the theater. My brain is turning into applesauce. Because there's things that I think happened that it didn't happen sometimes. I thought I saw No Holds Barred in the theater. If I didn't, I for sure wanted to, because I was obsessed with wrestling and Hulk Hogan and all that crap back then. And no, I don't think I saw it in the theater. I don't know. I'm gonna ask my mom. She don't remember either. But I thought I maybe saw it. Either way, I was too young to remember it. I watched it as an adult. I was like, this movie's terrible. This is one of the worst movies ever made. Which is surprising because of Hulk Hogan being such a huge celebrity at the time. We're going to go through celebrity deaths, by the way, speaking of. I watched the Bob Dylan movie with Timothy Chalamet. You know, I like some of Bob Dylan's music. I love Timothy Chalamet. Should have been a knock out of the park. Terrible. Terrible movie. If Bob Dylan was that boring and that rude in real life, F him. It's a terrible movie. I was like, this is trash. Did he do a great job? I'm sure. Color of Night with Bruce Willis. Again, see the Breaking Social Norms 80s, 90s horny movie list that we did. I think it was around September, October, maybe. This is, again, one of these movies that keeps getting referenced. And it was kind of a giallo movie, which is kind of something I like. And it's kind of horny, which is what I really like. Terrible. Terrible on all fronts. Existence. Now, this is the movie that Jennifer Jason Leigh did instead of being in The Matrix. And I think it's David Cronenberg even. And I was like, oh, this is going to be good. Tracked down a copy. Terrible. Didn't like it. Worst movie of the year. And I say this without hesitation. And I say this with much hate in my heart. The UFO documentary, Age of Disclosure. It's terrible. I'm here to tell you it's terrible. I bought it. I buy every one of these movies for the last 6 years. Any Stephen Greer movie, any UFO exposing from the high ups and intelligence agents and government, any of them that come out, I buy them $20 on Amazon every time. And I fall for it every time. And I fell for this too. Everyone was hyping this up. You know, your boy Rogan was hyping this up. Oh my God, necessary viewing. Got to watch it. No, you don't. Unless you've been in a coma since 2019, you know everything they're going to say. Worse yet, they're going to give you zero evidence. Worse yet, it's going to be a bunch of like intelligence agency, trust me, bros. Oh, okay. The CIA and the FBI would never lie to us. The U.S. government would never lie to us. Get the F out of here, man. I was like, this was the most hyped up nonsense bull crap I had ever seen. It makes me mad just talking about it. I don't want to keep ranting about it, but F Age of Disclosure, F everyone pushing this, I'm out. You know what I mean? Again, it's just part of this UFO grift. It just is. The UFO grift. Like, I get it. I'm fascinated by UFOs. I want to hear everything there is to hear about it. Give us the evidence. Oh, wow, they're so transparent. They're revealing the truth. No, they're not. They're not revealing anything. It's always, okay, we're gonna have a testimony at Congress about what these whistleblowers know, and what these pilots saw, and what these intelligence agents saw. And guess what we get to hear? Well, I got to talk to you in the skiff about that. Okay. Got it. There's top secret things. Okay, what was the results of the skiff meeting? They never happened. We don't know. Bullcrap. The government's been on to this since the 40s. Oh, there's no video. There's no photos. There's nothing. You can't give us anything. That's interesting. The best, it's like that Pawn Stars meme. It's like, best I can do is intelligence agents telling you it's true. Thanks. The people that have been lying to us for 80 years, those are the people we should trust now to just be like, yeah, we know, but we can't tell you. Okay, got it. Okay. Ending on a positive note. Because I, you know, have a lot of depression and anxiety. I like to look forward to things. That's one of the techniques and strategy I use to stay not depressed, stay happy. And one of the things is films to look out for in 2026. All right. Honorable mention in January, Twin Peaks. Well, throughout the year, I'm sure Twin Peaks is going to be in a bunch of theaters. There's this thing where a lot of indie theaters will do the Twin Peaks: The Return, the full damn season in the theaters. Get on that if you're into it. They're coming to Salt Lake in January. I don't know which ones I'm going to, but I'm going. Ridley Scott has a movie coming out called The Dog Stars. Illuminate confirmed Ridley Scott, right? The Dog Stars, that's Sirius, right? You know the importance of Sirius because you read my book, The Dark Path. You know that that's important. Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day, which we did a bonus show in December about how important that's going to be in the manipulation of the mind, right? My boy Tom Cruise, the second greatest actor of all time, has a comedy movie coming out called Digger. D-I-G-G-E-R. I mumble sometimes. I got to make sure that's very clear. Christopher Nolan's got a movie coming out called Odyssey. I like Christopher Nolan movies. Those are great. Dune 3, love it. Those Dune movies got me in a chokehold. I want to read the books. I heard the books are hard to read, and I'm not good with fantasy books, so I probably won't. In February, there's a horny movie coming out called Wuthering Heights with Margot Robbie in it. That's all I needed to hear. I'm there. Masters of the Universe? Yeah, please. Are you kidding me? He-Man? That's like formative childhood stuff. Peaky Blinders comes out in March. Love that show. Robert Eggers has a new one coming out called Werewolf. Of course, required viewing. There's a Return of the Living Dead sort of remake coming out. And there's another Friday movie coming out last Friday. So good stuff coming. Stay positive, folks, right? And follow me on Letterboxd. I do great film reviews. I'm on there at Isaac Weishaupt. Link is on my link tree. Follow me. I left a review for Avatar 3 if you want to check that out. If you want me to ruin movies for you. Now, there's a button on there if it's a plot spoiler. You can hit the plot spoiler button so people have to click unclick it to see it. But you can read my opinion about Avatar 3 there. I just watched it yesterday. Celebrity deaths 2025. Let's rattle this off. This is a massive list. I can't talk about each one. We'll be here all day. But it seems like this is more celebrities dying than ever. Robert Redford, Diane Keaton, rumors online that Jack Nicholson might be going out next because I guess he's real sad. He was really close with her and he's not looking too good, apparently. Gene Hackman had that horrific, like, hantavirus death in his house. Oh, terrible. James Ranson, the guy, he was in Black Phone, Generation Kill, The Wire, It. It was very sad. He was dealing with a lot of trauma, you know. And like when people do this thing to themselves, I got to be careful. I'm on YouTube. Sorry. I got to be careful. When people do this thing to themselves, like it's painful. You know, it hurts everyone around you forever. It's scarring for everybody involved. It's terrible. Like, you know, get some help, please. Buck Rogers, Cleto Escobedo. That's Jimmy Kimmel's friend and band leader. Very odd timing because it was right after Jimmy Kimmel got canceled, then brought back. Rob Reiner and his wife. That was just recently, of course. Darth Chaney. Diane Ladd. That's Laura Dern's mother, for all you Twin Peaks geeks out there. Ace Frehley from Kiss. Not a huge Kiss fan, so didn't affect me that much. A lot of people are, though. You know, people love Kiss. D'Angelo, Jane Goodall with the monkeys, you know. She's the... Wasn't she, like, talking to orangutans or something? Lonnie Anderson, Malcolm Jamal Warner, a lot of 80s celebrities here, you know. Michael Madsen, Jimmy Swaggart. Oh, no, not Jimmy Swaggart. Ananda Lewis. That one surprised me. She was the host of MTV for years. She was only 52. She had breast cancer. And from what I had read, I guess she had put off mammograms. So, ladies, get your mammograms. Don't mess around. That's sad, man. I liked Ananda. Sly Stone from Family in the Stone. Is that the name of the band? Anyway, George Wendt. That was Norm from Cheers. Kirk from Floribama Shore. I watched that show. Guilty Pleasures, these reality shows. Kirk died. That was sad. Jill Sobel. She sang I Kissed a Girl from the 90s. Terrible, right? Gene Wilder from Willy Wonka. Just kidding. Just kidding. I got you last year too, fools. I'm trying to see if you're paying attention. Gene Wilder died 2016. Oh, terrible. Pope Francis, after J.D. Vance shook his hand and killed him, allegedly. Val Kilmer, that one was sad. He had a good documentary, too. He was a good dude, seemed like, right? George Foreman from the George Foreman Grills. The guy, that's what he's most famous for, is inventing a grill. I remember cooking with that, cooking bacon on the thing. Angie Stone died in a car accident. David Johansen from the New York Dolls. Lynn Marie Stewart. She was in Pee-wee's Playhouse, Miss Yvonne. Beletta Wallace, that's Big's mom. Irv Gotti, he died at 54. I think it said it was from health reasons, like diabetes or something. Marianne Faithfull, she was the witch hanging out with. She was dating Mick Jagger and involved with Kenneth Anger and all that stuff. DJ Unk, that's the guy who sang Walk It Out. Bob Uecker, you know, Mr. Baseball. And finally, there's a new segment of the celebrity deaths that I'm doing. This is reserved for the special legendary heroes of mine that died. I'm calling it the We'll See You in Valhalla send-off. Danielle Spencer, not very famous, but she was in a show called What's Happening that I grew up in. I loved watching What's Happening. She was D. I liked her because she was like kind of the, she was kind of the smart ass. Like she was the toughest one of the bunch, right? She was Raj's sister, but anyway, she died. Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. Loved the Beach Boys growing up. They made a lot of great songs. Rebecca Del Rio from Twin Peaks. And then my top three. Top three, See You in Valhalla. Hulk Hogan. You know, was he problematic at times? Yes. Did he say some racist stuff? Yes. Did he, you know, and then you had his wife with Bubba the Love Sponge. A whole, you know. See, when a man loves a woman so much, sometimes he wants another man to, well, you get what I'm saying. You get where I'm going with that. He was a strange dude. And then at the end, he did that like weird MAGA grift thing. And look, I'm the kind of guy that likes to separate the art from the artist. Clearly, I've got problematic. I'm a problematic fan of problematic artists. And Hulk Hogan's right there. I don't care. I don't care what he did. I don't care. You know, I didn't love Terry Bollea. I loved Hulk Hogan. I loved the character Hulk Hogan from the 80s. When I hear that, and he wasn't even my favorite wrestler. Like, I actually sometimes was pulling it. I like the villains more, but it didn't matter. He was part of that scene, man. When that music kicks up, man, I got excited. Then number two, Ozzy Osbourne. Loved Ozzy, loved Black Sabbath. Did a whole bonus show on that, if you want more on that. But then my number one, and this is only a recent love, and that's David Lynch. Died in January. And as you know, I wasn't into David Lynch. In fact, I watched Lost Highway when I was a teenager. That was my first exposure to him. I was like, this is weird. And then I didn't really watch. I don't think I watched any of it. I had seen clips of Blue Velvet. Actually, I think I did watch Blue Velvet when I was a teen, but I didn't get it at all. I was barely paying attention. All I remember was the homeboy with the oxygen mask, you know. I can't repeat what he says, but anyway, it wasn't until I found Twin Peaks that I was like, Twin Peaks is goated David Lynch. Like, that's pinnacle David Lynch. It just is. And it changed my life, and I loved it. So David Lynch gets the number one. See You in Valhalla. Let's shift over to top pop culture and conspiracy moments, right? And this one's going to be intriguing. I can't. Of course, we're on YouTube, so I have to be careful what I say, but I'll use coded language. You'll get it. 2023, we had the rise of Tiffany Gomez. She was the, that guy's not real on the plane, right? And then this woman come out and said she's Tiffany Gomez. I don't know if that's her or not. I don't know. I kind of don't think it is. Whatever. Because when she came out, she was dressed in the same outfit. Like, it was just kind of weird. I don't know. Anyways, so 23, we had the rise of Tiffany Gomez. 24, we had the rise of the Hawk Tua girl. And in 2025, we saw the fall of the Hawk Tua girl. Hawk Tua girl, you remember she did this viral interview at the end of 24. And it blew up so much so that she went for it. She quit her job at the dreaded day job at the Bedspring factory. She started selling merch. She made a big first public appearance on stage with Zach Bryan, which is also a whole Illuminate confirm. I guess he's got this weird hellscape concert, whatever. I don't listen to country, so I don't know. Then her second appearance was doing a DJ set with the Freemasonic goated grifter himself, Shaquille O'Neal. Then she launches a podcast on Jake Paul's company and has every celebrity guest ever. Then she launches a crypto coin that she allegedly pumped and dumped. And by May of 2025, it all comes crashing down. She stops recording. Her last episode was addressing this whole crypto pump and dump scheme. And she's gone. Just like that. Poof. Gone. And I don't know the whole story behind the crypto thing. I could care less. I don't know. Whatever. I appreciate that she went for it, though. Like, that was pretty cool. Unless this whole thing was set up to whatever. Then in 2024, David Lynch he had this, I think COPD from smoking too much. He gets evacuated from his home from the LA fires in January. And it's believed this contributed to his death. And sadly, it was, I think I told the story before, but we were, we had two dogs at the time. We lost our one Chihuahua, Jelly Bean. We lost her the previous year in 24. And our other Chihuahua, Eva, she's kind of like the brown one. She's the evil one. She had a rough life, this poor baby. And she was in the ER, had a hard time breathing, and we had to put her down. So we're in the waiting room, and you know how fun this is, right? So I'm like, okay, we're waiting for them to kind of bring her to us so we can do this whole horrific ordeal, right? But you got to be there for the dogs, okay? You got to be there for them. They were there for you their whole lives. You got to be there for them when they go, when they cross that bridge, okay? I'm getting choked up here. So anyway, we're sitting there in the waiting room, and I pull out my phone, trying to dissociate, just waiting for them to bring our baby to us here. And I open the phone. Immediately, I see the news that David Lynch died. I was like, oh, this is great. What a great day this is. It was a terrible day. I'll never forget that moment now. So, yeah, awful. 2024, Bitcoin crosses $100,000 for the first time ever. Now, fast forward a year, 2025, down to 80,000, which was kind of shocking because the cryptos were supposed to have this massive year. And we didn't quite see that. What's going to happen in the future? I don't know. We're going to see, right? I'm heavily invested in cryptos too, so I'm watching with bated breath as well. I follow my longtime sponsor, James McMahon from Copy My Crypto. Shout out to James McMahon, by the way. Shout out to James McMahon and the crew over there for supporting the show and being my dedicated sponsor. He won't BS you. He knows what he's talking about. I followed him for years, and I've actually had a personal coaching call with him once to talk about some of this stuff because the cryptos are kind of wild, right? But anyway, crypto had a crazy year, unexpectedly dropping. 2024, we had the Drake versus Kendrick Lamar beef, right? Well, fast forward to 2025, Kendrick Lamar ruins hip hop. So thanks for that. Thanks for trying to kneecap my man Drake. Drake's problematic. Like I told you, I'm a fan of very problematic people. Drake also confirmed that he was hooking up with Kim Kardashian, right? Remember that song, Kiki, Are You With Me? Apparently that was true. 2024, we had Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. Seemed like a ritual staged event to embarrass Mike Tyson, if you recall, right? And now in 2025, fast forward a year, we saw the opposing force, the opposing polarity come into play of Jake Paul being embarrassed. Jake Paul, of course, being another one of these, a goated grifter, goated grifter status with Shaq. Also, he's a huge Trump supporter. Also a huge supporter of that country, like Trump. Like Hawk Tua Girl, by the way, too. Apparently, I guess. I don't know. That's what they say online. And, I won't get into that, but not today. But sort of related, we also saw Andrew Tate getting beat badly at the same time. What's going on here? It's like we're seeing a ritual on last year. It was the rise of these sort of type of people, and now it's the sort of destruction. It's kind of strange. Also with the Chiefs, you know, the last few years they were unstoppable, and this year, like, they're terrible. What's going on? Time will tell. 2023, Elon promised to release the Fauci files. 2024, Trump promised to release the Epstein files. And guess what happened in 2025? The Democrats forced the release of the Epstein files. Very strange occurrence here. And it does kind of play into that Hegelian dialect of left and right, all of it being sort of ritualistic theater. You know, Trump is also a big part of the 2025, obviously, right? This guy promised the world, people voted because of it. And I get it, right? Like, I'm not a fan. I wouldn't do that. But hey, I get what people are saying. Like, the groceries are outrageous. Everything's going outrageous. And he promised. He's like, oh, the electrical bills, gas bills are going to be cut in half. He said they were going to be cut in half. You realize how insane that sounds? And of course they didn't. Of course they went up. They're up like 25%. Auto insurance said it was going to be cut in half. No, didn't happen. I'll throw him a bone. He did say no more taxes on tips and overtime, and that a version of that went through, kind of. He promised groceries were going to be less. That certainly didn't happen. The beef is out through the roof. Oh my gosh. Promised to end all these wars on day one. That didn't happen. Said he was going to replace Obamacare. That didn't happen. Look, I'm still hoping for the best. I'm a American number one. I don't care what president's in there. I want this country to do better. However that happens, I'm America first, by the way, not that country first, like some of these guys are doing, which is like absurd. I'm like, what is happening with all this? We're sending $40 million to Argentina, $40 billion, excuse me, whatever it is. I don't know. Whatever the money is, I don't care what it is. I want it here. I want it here in America, helping American lives. I don't care what these other countries do. That's their prerogative. They spend their money how they want to spend it. I'm not helping them. We ought to help this country. Cue up the I'm a Real American Hero Hulk Hogan music, because that's who I am. And then we had the Epstein files, of course, proving, revealing, revelation of the method kind of stuff, right? Revealing what's going on. Kind of confirming that this guy had links to that country and that intelligence agency. And if you want my whole hot take on this thing, I'm going to guess that this is going to end up like the Diddy thing. You're going to have all these accusations that are probably true about these in-depth sort of complex web of structures being involved with all this stuff. And instead, we're going to get one fall guy. People will be pacified. We'll move on to something else. Right. And this is the scapegoat stuff that James Shelby Downer was talking about. And you can see how Trump's involved with all this. Or the whole most transparent president ever. Okay. Got it. Got sworn in January. Clearly besties with Epstein. Multiple photos with Epstein. Literally holding a check. He's holding this big check written from Trump to purchase a girl. An email. I mean, I don't want to go on all day. You already know. You don't need to hear from me. But the whole push for the dark enlightenment, that's my concern the most. And they're doing this with the K-shaped economy crush, right? They're crushing small farms, small businesses, the typical consumer with the grocery prices, everything. With the tariffs, like that's what tariffs do. They raise the price of everything. So I don't understand how. This is by design, though. This is all Great Reset, pandemic type stuff. This is the 2.0 of that. They want to consolidate all these small businesses to mega corporations and mega farms, private equity. It's all part of it, right? We got this military police state thing as another component of this. They're trying to normalize and make you accept having the U.S. military in your town, trying to support a police state of ICE, arresting people without due process, violating the Constitution clearly to send them to this hellscape prison in El Salvador. And then the rollout of the data for Palantir to make an AI basically from Westworld. That's literally what they did. He signed an executive order for them to consolidate all this data, personal data that the government has about you, into one giant system so they can make the AI Minority Report precog system. That's where we're going. So good news about that. Then we had the LA fires, right? Kendrick was at the Super Bowl. He does the Not Like Us thing. We had the Diddy trial. He only got 50 months, and I'm guarantee he's going to be out way before that. Guarantee it. That's what they do. Kind of like how Ghislaine was in prison, and she already got moved to puppy prison. She's playing with puppies and getting private cooked meals. She'll be out. She'll be out soon. She'll be hanging out with Jeffrey in whatever location he's hiding at. Another big moment, Ozzy, of course, dying, Hulk Hogan dying, but another huge moment that no one seems to be talking about. This is a big elephant in the room. People quitting podcasting. What is going on? My man, Juan on Juan. I heard he joined a flat earth cult. That's what I heard. I asked someone and he said he joined a flat earth cult. I don't know what's going on one-on-one. Mark, I listened to the Tinfoil Hat wrap-up show, which was a fantastic, which, by the way, shout out to Tinfoil Hat, one of my favorite shows. Those guys are the best. They got the best chemistry, and I think I petition that they do more shows of just those four guys, because they had Mark Steves, the booker, on there, and everyone brings something unique to the table of those four, and I loved it. I was the most engaging, interesting episode I heard from those that ever. So I don't know who I guess I could text the guys. But yeah, I think Sam, Johnny, XG, and Mark all together, that makes for killer content, I think. But Mark on that show said that Juan actually quit podcasting because he had to get, that doesn't sound good, but he got a job that makes it so he can pay his bills. So great, you know, because there's not a lot of money in podcasting. The Bledsoe Setsoe guys, they did a whole show. I listened to it, and you know, Ryan's still doing the show and he's going to keep it going. But, you know, that's, you know, it's not a quit podcasting, but yeah, they had a little fracture there. Not a problem, not a fight or nothing. You can hear it, listen to the episode yourself. Check it out. Taryn Manning, she started a podcast and quit podcasting. Hawk Tua Girl, she quit podcasting. Mark Maron, who's been around forever doing it. I never listened to an episode. I don't know. He seems kind of like a jerk, to be honest. But the biggest one, Freeman Fly, one of my Red Pill daddies. I did my first interview ever with another podcast. Excuse me. I did the radio show in Utah. I think it was called Ground Zero. That was my first interview. The first podcast interview was Freeman, though. He was the one that gave me a chance. And I'd been a huge listener of his. So Freeman quit doing it. I tried to email him. He didn't write back. I don't know what's going on with him. Someone online claimed that they knew him, and they said he was just kind of taking a break, taking a breather. Hopefully he comes back. Now, some other podcasters that quit, I'm very unfamiliar with these people. Barstool's BFF show, Matt Walsh, apparently quit podcasting early. Dan Bongino, who went to the FBI, apparently he you know, obviously quit podcasting. He wants to come back, maybe. Questlove had a podcast that quit. There's a show called CUM Town. I don't know. These are big shows, though, apparently. And they quit doing it. Now, I asked Google, I was like, why? What's going on? And they said the biggest reason is unrealistic expectations. It's low money with a high amount of time, and I will testify to that. It is true. And it's getting worse, by the way, because to let you in on the behind the scenes, sponsors are drying up for smaller shows like mine. And the expectations on the quality, the guests, the video production are through the roof. I mean, I can't compete with some of these guys. There's not enough time in the day. I got to hire someone. I don't have the money to hire somebody, right? But that's the whole point of this. This is dangerous for the system. They want to shove out independent voices so that we're out of the ecosphere of these big, you know, big celebrity. It's like, oh, another big celebrity podcast. Gee, what are they going to talk about? They're going to have another big celebrity on, talk about the things that are bought and paid for you to hear, right? They want you to listen to Joe Rogan and Peter Thiel talk about whatever three times a year, and Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, hear their nonsense. That's what they want. Now, the number one event in 2025 is a mix of things that came to a boiling point in September of 2025. I'll call it the Revelation of the Method event. We had Charlie Kay, Epstein, and that country. All right. The Epstein files, of course, are part of this. We had the phase one binder event back in March. Remember all the, yeah, we got the list and it was nothing. Then we had the birthday book in September. Then they had the vote on releasing the files, vetoed by Republicans on September 10th. It was the same day the Charlie Kay thing happened. All right. Then there was an email dump in November. And then the official legal day that all the Epstein files had to be released legally was December 19th. And as you know, not even complete yet. Everything's redacted. And then they're like, oh, wait, we found a million more files. Are you kidding me? What is going on? And you'll notice that was on the solstice, by the way, to bring the occult into this. But that country, and we're going to unpack this maybe on a full show, maybe. I don't know if I want this level of heat, but this is just an observation, so take it easy. And look, to clarify, you know, I love Kubrick. I've got him tattooed on my arm. I love Bernie Sanders. I would never, ever push or support bigoted views of individuals in the same way that if I go to another country as a tourist, I would hate that they would be like, oh, you're an American. You're terrible. I'm like, no, our government's terrible. And that's the same way I look at this, right? That government is sus. Kind of like our government. Something like our government is sus, right? And now everyone seems to be questioning all of history. And for some weird reason, social media is allowing this. Even viralizing a lot of these videos questioning that country and stuff like that. And I find it very strange. I find it very strange. There's talk about, hey, I saw a video the other day about, oh, if you support any of these pop culture artists, you know, like Drake and all these big names, right? They're like, you're supporting the thing currently happening over in that area. Because all the big artists are owned by the label, and guess who owns the labels, right? Guess, you know, and anyway, got to be real careful here. And that ties us into Charlie Kay. And there were so many theories about this, it's outrageous. It would be a full-time job to track and keep up with all of them. Because I don't listen to Candace Owens. I don't, a lot of these people talking about this stuff, I don't really follow. It's not really my lane, not really my thing. But I do casually keep up with them. I'm like, dude, what is going on? I mean, they're saying that all kinds of stuff about the guy who supposedly did it, this Tyler guy and his furry boyfriend, and oh my goodness. And I talked about a lot of the stuff on the Charlie Kay King Kill 33 episode. You got to listen to that or listen to the Tinfoil Hat. I go deep dive on my version though. But a lot in the rounds, he wrote on these rounds like crazy stuff. But anyways, the point is it supposedly ties to that country. And Candace Owens, who she said there was going to be another 9/11 event the second week of December, which I don't think that happened. And she's been campaigning hard in the paint about that country being involved because apparently Charlie wasn't interested in supporting them anymore. And Erica Kirk, she comes out and she's acting all weird, coming on stage like Ric Flair with fireworks banging out. And she reminds me a lot of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. They're like crying. They're like, we just want to be left alone. And it's like, bro, no, you don't. You're in the limelight every day. You're signing up for these appearances every day. But Erica's supposedly, there's this theory that she's going to hook up with old Just Dance Vance. But anyway, she's pushing this whole thing about how, no, Charlie was a big supporter. He would put his phone in the drawer on Saturdays and, you know, say a certain phrase that you would hear from that country. It's weird. And then old H.J. Boebert, she passed an amendment to punish politically motivated boycotts of that country, even though we already had laws about that. And then strangely, all these comics do a show in Saudi Arabia, right? Which is a Muslim country, which is at odds with that other country. And it all made sense when I watched the Dave Chappelle Netflix stand-up. He had a valid response. Because he was like, look, everyone was mad at us comics for taking the money from Saudi because they killed one of the journalists here. And he's like, are we keeping track? What about that country? They took out over 240. And I looked it up and I was like, no way. I looked it up. Yeah, dude. That's what the official Google result tells you that. So it could be worse. You know? And like I said, USA, we don't have the cleanest hands either, right? But the Dave Chappelle show, I found it very interesting. I found it very interesting, we'll say. But he said it's, you'll hear it on there, I'm sure. And he said it's easier to speak in Saudi Arabia than America, which makes me think about the control system that we're discussing right now, right? And how I've got to use coded language. Anyway, my point being, all this transparent talk about that country that we're seeing everywhere, all of a sudden, I mean, you couldn't talk about this stuff before. All of a sudden, we're seeing it. Is this being done on purpose? My first paranoid thought is, oh, they're trying to make it acceptable to talk about these things so that you go on social media and you say, yeah, I don't like that country either. They control everything. They control the media, all this stuff, right? Why do you think they're doing that? Could it be that just a few months ago, Trump signed that executive order to have Palantir scrape data and consolidate it all? Huh. Man, what could that be? Could it be that they're trying to see who's talking about this stuff so they can keep a close eye on that? I'm just saying, be careful, right? I'm just saying, be careful. Because it is strange. All of a sudden, the conspiracy theorist is free to talk on all these platforms. And all of a sudden, we're seeing all this talk about that country. That's interesting, isn't it? Huh. Interesting how some of these guys can say all this crazy stuff. Nick Fuentes, Ian Carroll, Kenneth Owens is very openly discussing all this stuff. And I say, I've been saying it since day one with guys like Ian Carroll. I'm like, how? How did I get torched off of every platform for having this neutrally presented discussion about events that aren't even this controversial, and I get slapped across the face 1,000 times and canceled off of everything? How does that work? Isn't that interesting? Huh. But I have a general distrust and paranoia over everyone, so, you know. And that's not a diss against Ian Carroll. I have no problem with the man. He seems like a good researcher. I actually like Ian Carroll. I think he's a good researcher. I like the way he talks. I think he seems like a genuine dude, I'm sorry, I'm a conspiracy guy at heart. If you came around after the pandemic, I don't trust you. You got to earn that. And that goes for almost everybody, right? And that's not me like talking shit. I'm just saying it's like my job and my goal as a conspiracy guy is to question everyone and everything. That's what I do. So, sorry. And you've got this lot of weird representation of dark enlightenment figures like Peter Thiel, you know, going on Joe Rogan 100 times, and his employee Jesse Michaels going on Joe Rogan with this massive show, American Alchemy. And I only found out about that show recently because he did a 4-hour interview with Peter Lavenda, a guy I've been trying for years to get on. Right? It's also very strange, is what I'm saying. And that Jesse Michaels guy, his dad is this famous therapist that had a show on Apple TV about him, played by Harrison Ford. And he wrote a book about how you need to like pull up your shadow and let your shadow take over, like crazy stuff. And I'm like, yo, this is also very weird. In fact, I listened to Jesse Michaels on Joe Rogan for a little bit, and he was talking about how he worked on The Daily Show and he was in the green room talking to who's the incarnate of evil, that dude. Oh, man, I can't even think. The guy that died a couple years ago that John Oliver kept having a countdown to when he died. Oh, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Anyway, my point is I think there's a bigger conspiracy at play here. Mark my words. I think they want to give conspiracy people a platform and then embarrass them all the way out. Okay, moving on. Podcast big moves. Big moves. This time where I get to sit back, relax, and this is actually dedicated to you guys. This is only because of you. This is nothing to do with me, but it's mostly about you guys because I would not have any of this stuff without you. The big moves I made on the podcast this year: YouTube relaunch. Go find me, like and subscribe at Occult Symbolism. Right? As you know, at the beginning of the year, I'd gone full explicit. I was like, you know what? I'm just going full explicit. I don't care. And then I immediately had to pull it back because I launched my third YouTube channel. It was kind of a weird thing. It was kind of an old channel that had a strike against it that they unlocked, and I was like, oh sweet, I'm back on. But my first two channels got torched. It was my first and third channel that got torched, and my second one stayed alive and then came back. So anyway, it doesn't matter. Back on YouTube, at Occult Symbolism. Subscribe, get me to 100,000 subscribers. You hit me with them hype points. You know what I'm talking about? If you know what I'm talking about with the hype points, hit me with them hype points. They're free to use, apparently. Help me hit that top 100 on the hypes, and I'll hit that 100K, and I'll stop whining. You can stop hearing about it, okay? Also, another big move. I moved my online store to Shopify. It's now at occultsymbolism.com You can now find my online merch store with super soft shirts, signed paperbacks, and my new launch of Mushroominati Watcher Coffee, the best mushroom-infused coffee on the planet, roasted by my man Jordan, specifically for my listeners. It's a little pricey, right? It's bougie coffee. I'm going to tell you right now, it's bougie, because if you get any of that mushroom-infused coffee, it's expensive. And that's the reason he uses organic stuff, organic mushroom, extract, organic beans. It's fantastic. It's literally the best coffee I've ever tasted. And if you've tasted the mushroom-infused coffee, it always has a little too mushroomy taste to it. This one does not. It's fantastic. It's very healthy. It's very good for you. I mean, these aren't FDA-approved statements, I'm sure. Whatever. But you can get it all at my new web store, occultsymbolism.com. I was on Gumroad before, but they were like, hey, we're not selling physical products anymore. So you can still get digital products on there, so it's still there, but not really. If you want all the physical stuff, that's where you go. Another big move for the podcast, the episode on the History Channel, Unexplained. That was a huge moment. That was a big moment for me, a big moment for the podcast. Another big move on the podcast, I shot that documentary about Crowley with Joel Thomas and Tony Merkel. It's still in the works. Originally, we thought it was coming out at the beginning of the year. It got pushed back a little bit for some reasons, but it's going to be a banger. It's going to be a series, I believe. Stay tuned for more on that. Of course, I'll be talking about it. And now for the biggest move of all time I want to share with you. This is the one I teased you at the beginning with. It's the biggest personal move as well. Big podcast move, big personal move that I made since starting this whole thing. As some of you know, I've been doing this research since 2011, and I never had the intention of making this a full-time thing, right? This was a passion project. Then something weird happened. 2020 happens, pandemic, everything goes remote. Suddenly I'm at home working. And as you know, if you telework or remote work, there's a ton of time savings. Tons of time savings. And I suddenly had the time to really like level up the depth of the research, the length of the episode, the overall quality. And you notice that, right? The show changed in 2020. You can notice all those things happen. Fast forward to 2025. And my work flips over fully back in office. And I'd hit this crossroads, right? I was trying to maintain this standard that I had built over those years of remote work. And I wanted to keep that going, but then I lost a lot of the time it took to make that possible. So something had to give, and I didn't want it to be this show. I love it too dearly. So earlier this year, back in May, I made the decision to step away from my day job and commit fully to this show. And I want to be very clear, this isn't... It isn't a victory lap. It actually raises the stakes, right? This means the show is going to live or die on the work I put in and the value that I bring to you, right? With my research, with my references, with the quality of how I present this information. And all that responsibility is definitely not lost on me, okay? And the only reason that any of this was possible is because of you, because of support from the community, right? From the supporters, all the supporters, right? Even if you're on the free feed and you drop comments, whatever, right? The engagement. And I don't take it for granted. And there's no obligation here. I just want to express my genuine gratitude over these years. I've had a lot of you that have been listening forever. A lot of you have been since the blogging days, right? And since making that decision, I've been able to go deeper on the research, as you've seen this year, right? Deep dives, improve the video side of the show. And I want to start building this towards where I want this project to go long term, right? I'm currently scouting to find a video editing course to figure out how to make these video edits pop even better, because that's a continuous improvement process. I'm working on doing more appearances. I've already got a few lined up for 26. I want to do a lecture tour of some kind. I know I keep saying that, but my plate is so full with stuff. I just don't know how I'd squeeze that in. I want to make that happen this year. And I'm pushing hard to make the show better in general across Patreon, the free feed, and this YouTube, right? I also want to complete writing 2 books this year. So if anything, I'm busier than ever. I'm just more focused right now. And this has been a dream for a long time. I don't want to dismiss that. But more than anything, this is a commitment. So thank you for being a part of this. And I want to keep earning it, right? So thank you so much. That was the big reveal, right? Big speech, right? That was the big reveal. So, but there are other non-podcast highs and lows. These are the personal highs and lows, right? This next part of the show. I got my Twin Peaks tattoo sleeve done. Look, it's a win. I'm taking it as a win. I'm so tired of doing tattoos. It's just like a pain in the butt, right? And it's expensive. But it hurts. It hurts, and then you got to stay out of the water for 2-3 weeks. Oh, it's a pain in the butt. But the sleeve finished up around the same time as the Grey Lodge analysis finished up, right? And like I said, I'm finishing the book this year for sure. I want to finish it by February, March. That's my plan. We'll see. Maybe a lecture. I want to see how much interest is in the book before I commit to doing another Twin Peaks project, because I know it's not everyone's thing. But it's a passion project. I love it. So I don't know. The heart wants what it wants. So I definitely want to make a lecture happen, preferably up in Seattle. We'll see. Stay tuned for more on that. Another personal win, Rocky Horror Picture Show. I go every year. Me and Josie both won the trophy for the best costume for Frankenfurter and, Janet. So that was a big deal. We'll talk about more on breaking social norms. If you're into that, check that out on the 20 on the Breaking Social Norms. We'll do a wrap up show too. I got a bunch of cool mailbags, and this is something fun that I actually picked up from Super Retro, which is a show I love and adore. If you're into nostalgia and 80s, 90s pop culture stuff, I always recommend Super Retro. It's one of my favorite shows. I look forward to it every week. And they do this cool thing, mailbag segment, where people send them stuff and they open it and they talk about what's in the box and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I should do that. I've had people send me stuff, Skinny Fresh send me stuff over the years. I'm like, damn, I should have filmed all of that, man. I hate that. I mean, Skinny Fresh sent me tons of dope stuff. Maybe I can like revisit the stuff in a way. Maybe I'll do that sometime. But I started filming those and posting them on my Instagram. So I love doing the mailbags. What else? I fixed a bunch of stuff like a real man this year. Like I said, I'm trying to cut expenses. So I started to do a little more DIY. I replaced a circuit breaker in my house. I had to call my friend who's an electrician. We'll call him Juicy J. Call up Juicy J. He helped me fix this breaker that went out at the last second. I had to go fix this thing. I replaced a clutch in my truck with Jimmy the Jackhammer. I needed him. I couldn't have done that myself. It was too much work. But yeah, a lot of big moves with the personal manly repairs. And then this one isn't me really, but I'm claiming it as me. I had a friend. I'm going to keep it anonymous. I don't think he would care. He probably wants me to say it, but I don't know. I get weird because I don't know if people wanted me to air their personal stuff out. But I had a friend who had his first baby boy. I'm very excited for him. I'm going to live vicariously through him, you know, because I don't have any kids. So I'm very excited. In fact, I want to say he said I'm his godparent. I think. I don't know. I could maybe. I'm just joking. But that was a big deal. So shout out to you know who you are. Then also took a very cool course from Professor Diana Pasulka. I'm going to get her on the podcast because she's got a new book coming out. Very excited for that. She's one of my favorite researchers ever. As you know, I do Breaking Social Norms, and we cleared 500,000 downloads over there. It's actually higher than that because Spreaker doesn't integrate the Spotify statistics, but whatever. We're calling it good. So that was a big one. And then my favorite moment, my favorite personal high of the year, we got to go up to Twin Peaks to meet Cheryl Lee, Mary Reber, and Ray Wise. I posted the images on the Instagram, and I did a Breaking Social Norms episode about this if you're interested. Got to see Kiana Lodge. I talked about our whole experience there. And if you wonder, if you're like, why do you keep referencing Breaking Socials? Well, it's because like Occult Symbolism is more of a show where I present research. Breaking Socials is more of a personal lifestyle show where I'm also like red pilling Josie. Sometimes she's red pilling me. Like we've been arguing about the NFL being rigged for a while now, but we talk about relationship, personal life stuff, all kinds of fun stuff. So if you're into my show, check it out. You know, it's a great time. In fact, I lost some listeners who just exclusively listen on Breaking Socials now. So, because it's a little more engaging, it's back and forth. Then I had some lows this year, right? I had a free, my shirts, the shirt game is drama for me. I had a free feed loser shirt that I had so many people ask me for it, and then nobody bought them. So I sold my last one this year. Also re-ran the George Bush shirts and the Trump shirts with the skull and bones. I again printed too many of those off. So I gotta start doing pre-sales or something. Another low, Sherilyn Fenn still has me blocked. Bummer. Second worst, my Trump derangement syndrome flaring up, watching all these technocrats and billionaires take us down this new world order path. Back in January, I was in a low spot. January, February, I was feeling real low. But I do feel like the tide is shifting, that people are starting to come around to my view on this. And the only reason this isn't number one on my list is because I do realize that through my red pill daddies that this is a lot of theater and ritual. When you get into politics, it is kind of a loose stealer. So I get that, right? But I never know how scared to be. Like, I'm paranoid too, right? But by far the worst is when I lost Eva, my puppy. That was a tough loss because she was very needy. She was a very sick dog. And, you know, it's very difficult to do that, but you know, you got to be there for your pups. You got to be there for them. And we did it. So that was a terrible, terrible time. Now, finally, predictions. This is the fun part of the show. We're going to review the results of my predictions from last year and make some for next year. Okay. Let's recap 2025's predictions and see which ones I got right. We talked about Diddy. I did make some predictions back then. I said, look, Jay-Z is going to get named. He already had an accuser out there. And I was like, it ain't going to be over for Jay-Z yet. 2025 is going to be a bad year for Jay-Z. Wrong. I was wrong about that. Jay-Z is still chilling. And he's doing the PC move that you'll see these celebrities do. Just got real quiet. Him and Beyonce have been laying real low in the cut. Real low. Right? Now, I had also talked about how Diddy was a fed. And Dave Chappelle even supported that with his new stand-up. So, mixed. But mostly wrong. My other prediction, TikTok. I had a prediction that I actually thought it was not going to be banned. Because at the time, there was all this threat of it being banned. It was a big scare, right? I said, no way. This is too big of a propaganda engine to be true, to be banned. And I was right. That one was true. Very true. Now it's being bought by some technocrat fascist conglomerate with CIA's Oracle and Larry Ellison, who's buying up all the mainstream media. So we're going to get just pummeled with right-wing propaganda like Fox News. That's going to be all the news now. Then we had Luigi. I said, look, the U.S. government is going to push gun control, and that's what we really need to be concerned about, you know, specifically because the conservatives are in charge of all the government right now, all three houses of the government, executive, legislative, and judicial, basically. Judicial is supposed to be a non-political thing, but, you know, we all read the writing on the wall. So it would, I said it would be very strange if there was any gun control measures passed in 2025. And it kind of happened, right? If you go to Google, the AI result says, yes, there was significant state level gun control legislation in 25. So not federal. So that's why I'm giving this one a mixed. It says 33 states passed 89 new laws focusing on areas like the switches, disarming abusers, holding the industry accountable, and tweaking some existing laws. Federally, actions involve Supreme Court rulings and some proposed bills and so on. So again, kind of mixed. Another big prediction I made is daylight savings, because everyone was talking about getting rid of daylight savings or making it permanent, I should say, whichever one. And I was like, no, 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 none of this is going to change. I predicted there will be no change because I had done a show about daylight savings being a conspiracy based on corporate interest origins. And the politicians, you'll see, they constantly use this as a threat. They're like, oh, we're going to get rid of this. Everyone hates changing their clocks twice a year. And I said, no, no, no. There's too many lobbyists involved. Too many nerds. And it's true. And I was dead right about that. They even teased they were going to change it. They've been teasing it the whole time. It's not happening. As long as the corporate slave masters run this joint, it ain't happening. Then my number one prediction was UFO disclosure, because in The Dark Path in 2017, I talked about how 2025 was supposed to be the year that happened, and mixed, right? They're still kind of teasing it. Not officially. I'm not calling this one a win, though, because I don't think so. They haven't proven nothing yet. And maybe Spielberg's the guy they're waiting to put the nail in the coffin. Who knows? So the results are 2 correct, 1 wrong, and 2 mixed. So pretty good. Better than usual results. So let's go to 26 and get you going to your New Year's Eve party. I was super paranoid about this year. But the real question is that the right move or not? Because, for example, right? Like I said, in January, my TDS was at an all-time high, and I was really paranoid. I bought a bunch of gold and silver. And guess what turned out to be the right move? Guess what turned out to be the biggest mover of the year? Gold and silver. So now I'm like, man, maybe I'm onto something. So for 2026, here's 3 predictions. Number one, let's go economic. Number one, that AI bubble, I think it's going to explode. Because they think, because these tech nerds are running everything, and these tech nerds are obsessed with sci-fi, and they're possessed with sci-fi, and they think this is going to be real. They want AI to be the answer so bad. They want so bad to replace you with an AI bot at whatever job you're working. But for my amateur opinion and my usage of the AI apps, it ain't happening, Chief. Does it make some killer videos and stuff? Yeah, it does. Are they going to replace humans? I mean, we're not even close yet. So I think that AI bubble is going to pop. And the cryptos may also be hurt by this, because there's too many bad actors involved in crypto now, right? That doesn't take away the potential for the investment. I'm just saying that I'm a little more leery now, right? Because people have a lot of bad taste in their mouth with the pump and dumps and the Trump coins and stuff that don't have any utility value. If you're going to invest, you got to invest in the right stuff, which is why you got to listen to James McMahon from Copy My Crypto. Political is my second prediction. I believe you know who isn't going to make it through the year. I don't know if that's politically or physically. I've seen tons of videos explaining his health issues, and he keeps insisting that he's in this superior shape. But boy, does he not look good to me, right? I think we see him, he's looking like Sleepy Joe with a stroke, you know? It's crazy. Because it's like one time you see him sleeping, and the next he's like on brand Trump, like cussing people out and acting crazy. And I think they're filling him with uppers and meth, which is what he was accusing Sleepy Joe of back in 24. And I'm going to guess both of those things are true, right? These guys are too old. They're too old for this job that's this demanding. And, you know, this isn't me wishing anything upon him. I'm just saying I can't see this going on physically or politically 12 more months. I know it's a bold prediction. They might take steps to remove him. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to look between the Epstein files and between his health. All I know is that when he says something's up, it's really down and vice versa. So when he's like, oh, I'm the healthiest man in the world, one on the banana peel, one on the grave. Okay. I'm not saying that I wish that. I'm just saying, like, if I was to predict, like, I don't know, like, this doesn't look good from a lot of fronts. I think they're going to start posturing something. Number three, pop culture. Let's make a pop culture prediction. People are going to bail on social media. I think social media is so full of bots and AI video slop and propaganda that the people will have had enough. I'm not saying it's going to shut down entirely. I'm saying the usage is going to reduce incredibly. And that's when, you know, people might come back to the real stuff on the podcast realm. Not these corporate shills with these celebrity guests and polished videos. I think people are going to be waking up to this technocracy, New World Order push, and they're going to be disgusted. And the propaganda being pushed on social media. And then a bonus prediction. Number four, false flag season. That's right. They false flags are happening regularly, right? But I'm predicting there's going to be a big one this year. And you probably know who might be involved. I don't know. We'll see. All right. That's my bonus one. Those things all sound scary. But in conclusion, 2025 was a wild year. Will 26 bring more chaos or will it bring more peace? I don't know. Either way, I'm going to be right here to provide you my opinions, my ideas, my insight on pop culture, symbolism in movies, TV. So stay subscribed, you know. And my apologies in advance. I'm going to ask you to sub to my YouTube channel about a million times this year because I want to make that 100,000 followers happen. I need it. So if you're already there, thank you. I check the comments generally daily on there. If you have hype points, give me them hype points. I'll be eternally grateful. That's how I can hit this goal of 100,000 subs and I can shut up about it, right? Because I got a lot of time to make up for it. Like, I got kicked off of there too many times. I need to get back up. So if I'm not getting them hype points, I'm not getting those subs, I'm going to be real sad guy. But yeah, go check out the YouTube, Add a Cult Symbolism. Links are always in the show notes. And look, I'm gonna wrap up with my sign-off. And I do mean this for 26. I know we talked about a lot of scary stuff, but if you follow, and I don't care what religion you follow, me personally, being an Orthodox Christian, it's nice because in a way it takes a lot of pressure off because you just put your faith in God and be like, you know, and you could say that's a cop out, but I'm saying it's like, look, I'm just going to try to worry about me. I try to be the best person I can be for my family, for what my religion tells me to do. I'm going to try my best to do that. And like, that's all I can really work on. Try to maintain that and not get consumed with these other things. Right. So when I sign off, I want you to hear me. I want you to feel this, right? When I sign off, every time I say stay positive, and I want you to do that. We're going to stay positive together. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for all these big moves we've made along the way. And until next time, stay positive.